This next section is on repentance. But first of all, I didn't answer the question, so how do we find a mate? How do we pray for a spouse? How do we pray for a person of the opposite gender to be our spouse? Or how do we not do that is how I'm going to start out answering the question. But where are we led by the Spirit? Do we have hunches? Are there open doors and fleeces? And impressions and circumstances, are those what we're being led by? We think that Yahweh's leading us. No, the Spirit of Yahweh opens our mind. The Spirit of Yahweh, the Ruach HaKadosh, opens our mind as we obey, as we read the Word. The Word commands us what to do and what not to do. Anything that is not in Scripture then usually falls in the area of that. So we just need to pray for guidance, and there's no specific way that Yahweh is going to lead us. Perhaps some will say, well, yes, I was specifically led to this certain person and I married her. But I was led to the Spirit. I was led by the Spirit that we are to do what? And then the another person will come along and he'll say, I was led by the Spirit to do the opposite, setting their own standards. It just takes two Spirit-led people to disagree, and the whole concept about being led by the Spirit, the whole concept falls apart. And I refer you to our article, Faith and Interpretation of Scripture, and to the Sermon Audio website with Paul Vigiano. Yahweh's Word says in John 17:17, set them apart through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. It's not impressions, not circumstances, but the Word of Yahweh, the Scriptures. Or is it that inner voice, the Spirit, or circumstances and impressions, feelings, or hunches? Or how about having a certain peace about something? Good fortune, fleeces, open doors, or other methods? I can't rely on those, all of those ethereal, intangible concepts there. Can they be relied upon to give us all the truth? No. Yahweh's Word is the truth, with no private interpretation. Yahweh's Word says to repent, as we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the 11 unleavened chapter there. Yahweh's Word says to repent. Repent of some impression or feeling or circumstance. No, the Torah defines what sin is. In 1 John 3, sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 5, verse 2 also says that sin is the transgression of the law, and that love is in keeping of the commandments. 1 John 5. So instead of inner voices, we have the revelation in the 66 books of Scripture, the books of Yahweh. The Scriptures are confirmed by His pure Spirit that His Word is truth, and then we must submit to His authority. His Word interprets itself by the harmony of Scripture. We just look up all the Scriptures that we can anyway on one particular topic or subject, and then we have the harmony of Scriptures to interpret. All Scripture is given to us on a given subject, but it doesn't tell us whom we should marry, and others should not come along and try to... Oh, wait a second, let me finish my thought here. His Word interprets itself. We can't interpret ideas in Scripture for ourselves. So, faith comes from studying and hearing the Word of Yahweh, Romans 10:17. But I do not believe that someone should be free to come along and tell me, I'm not satisfied with your prospect for your next spouse. She's too tall. She's too skinny. Or obese. Or I don't like the way she smiles, or the way she parts her hair, or combs her hair, rather. I don't think that you two fit together. Her financial or her background, or something like that. You know, they have no business meddling in our affairs and helping us. Well, to some extent, if we ask them for advice, that's another thing. But if it's just handing out advice without, unsolicited advice like that, handing that out, that's That's not good. That's not healthy. And to condemn somebody to a life of solitary confinement and forbid them to never marry again because that person supposedly who is in his 60s now, he's too old to remarry. Well, that's absurd. You know, lay off, back off there. Do not try to manipulate other people, right? We should not let others manipulate us to that extent. I've had the same ones, religious leaders, in regards to the house, you know, whether you should pay off the mortgage and you should own that home, or whether or not this cell phone or this cell phone plan or not, or internet plan. What's another? The type of car. I've had the pastor come up. I didn't know you had that car. Where did you get that one, that green car there, and so on. That's, you know, that could be of some interest, but to me that's material. That's worldly. That's even carnal sometimes to get into too much of interference there in our personal or business life unless we solicit. We ask another person to help us, but that's none of their business to come along and try to meddle in our lives. Okay, well, that's my lecture there. Stay out of our lives if it has nothing to do with Scripture. They even call them control freaks or people who have control issues. They're not supposed to be coming along dishing out free advice about everything. And then, regarding Scriptures, of course, yes, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we have 7 through 13. If they're giving us advice about how to love Yahweh better, even if we don't solicit the advice, maybe, you know, if we're into deep sin, maybe they should come along. They probably should come along and try to assist us to get out of sin, as long as they're doing it from the right motive and they're gentle or they're firm, whichever is more appropriate. Sometimes you've got to be a little more firm. Purge out, it says here. Paul is speaking during the Feast of Unleavened Bread in chapter 5, Corinthians. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. So you're not a new lump, but you are unleavened. But, well, it says here, new lump, but not a leavened lump, but you are unleavened. So we're free from desiring to commit sin because we have Yahweh's spirit in us. For even Messiah, our Passover, is offered for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Paul telling us here in Corinthians to keep the feast of unleavened bread and Passover, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Once again, what is truth? Thy word is truth, Yahweh's word. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to keep company with fornicators. And then to verse 11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother, that is a fornicator. So if, you know, if you go to the gas station and the person is not religious, he's not a believer, but he's a fornicator, you can still buy gas from that person. Or you can, you know, at the grocery store, you can make a transaction. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if a man or a person is called a brother, be a fornicator or covetous or idolater or railer or drunkard or extortioner with such as one, no, not to eat. Do not eat with that a rebellious kind of person, but rebuke them. For what have I to judge also them that are without? Do not you judge them that are within? But them that are without Yahweh judges. Therefore put away among yourselves that wicked person. See also 1 Corinthians 11:30. And we were talking about fornication in the previous verse there in verse 9, not to keep company with fornicators. I think that would not only be physical, but spiritual fornicators. Then to the book of Isaiah, chapter 2. Isaiah 2, 1 through 8. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it came to pass, And this is also found Micah chapter 4. It came to pass in the last days that the mountain of Yahweh's house should be established up to the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow unto it. So this is prophecy, prophetic, last days scriptures. It came to pass in the last days that the mountain shall be established. And many people shall go up and say, Come, let us go up unto the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of Yahweh of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth no law. No, it says, out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and swords in their pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come you and let us walk in the light of Yahweh. In the light of Yahweh. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east. The New Agers replenished from the east with all kinds of weird doctrines. They are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves and the children of strangers. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end to their treasures. Their land also is full of horses, neither is there any end to their chariots. It's kind of like automobiles. You know, we all have a whole fleet of automobiles anymore, not just one in the parking lot outside our house, but a whole fleet. Their land also is full of idols, although my cars go back from 1967 to 2003. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And he's not putting down all inventions and all automobiles or all silver and gold here, but just those who have the wrong motive toward them. And we'll go back to chapter 1 regarding this doctrine here of repentance. Verse 18, Come now, and let us repent and have a change of heart. Let us reason, saith Yahweh. That's what's lacking these days when two people get together to argue, to have debates and envyings and deceit. They don't want to reason. They don't want to sit down. They don't want to open the book. They just want to speak off the top of their head. But this is wrong. Come now and let us reason together, saith Yahweh. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So our sins are all under Yahweh's blood. They are forgiven in Messiah. We're going to go into that deeper now. Hopefully much deeper and much more enriching and encouraging. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. That faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it. But now, murderers lodge in the city. Well, that reminds me of the Sodom and Gomorrah, the Babylon we have close by. Where the university seems to be the thing. Intellect, learning, science, technology, those are their gods, not Yahweh. Thy silver has become dross, like wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves gifts and follows after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither does the cause of the widow come unto them. I mean, it is not the cause of the widower come unto them. In my case, I'm not getting much sympathy. Oh, too bad. Wow. Therefore, saith Yahweh, I don't know if you understood that, but anyway, I think we need a little more compassion for one another, for men and women who have lost their spouses. A little more loving compassion there. Anyway, therefore, saith Yahweh, Yahweh of hosts, the mighty one of Yisrael, I will ease me of my adversaries and avenge me of my enemies, and I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. And then he continues on, and you can read that in Isaiah chapter 2. As we move to chapter 5:13 to 24, still on the same subject here, and then we'll talk about the Messiah in chapter 7 and 9 of Isaiah. As you can tell, and chapter 11, as you can, I really major on the book of Isaiah. It is just so enriching and deep and nourishing. That's the word. 5:13, Isaiah or Yeshayahu. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity. Oh, do they ever complain about this? I hear the politics. All we need to do is bring back the Tea Party, the Republicans, and then everything will be swell. Just move the clock back 20 years. Let the abortion and the gay rights continue, and the property confiscation continue. No, that's not the way things need to be. So verse 13, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and her glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it, into hell. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But Yahweh of hosts shall be exalted in judgment. And Yahweh, or the mighty one, that is pure, shall be set apart in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, woe unto them that draw iniquity little by little, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope, little by little. They say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. Let the counsel of pure one of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And they're, you know, say, I know my heart is right. No, we don't know whether or not our heart is right. Yahweh knows our hearts. Nobody knows. Yeah, you're saved, but you still have a heart that you can't completely, totally judge it. You can judge it by the word. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for a reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him, forcing them to break Yahweh's law in some way, to break the Sabbath. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of Yahweh of hosts and despised the word of the pure one of Yisrael. So that's the whole Protestant agenda, is to do away with the law of Yahweh. Not all churches. Some are a little more Calvinistic and legalistic, they say. No, they're more pro Yahweh's word. They're lifting up Yahweh's word, even though they may not lift all of it up. I've got some preachers I'd like to recommend to you, but then in other areas they'll speak against the Sabbath. On Sermon Audio, excellent speakers there, Mark Shansky, and he speaks about sexual immorality, parts 1, 2, 3, and 4, I think it is. I don't know if it's just two part. I think it's all four. Mark Shansky, Chansky, on sermonaudio.com. But when he gets into the Sabbath and the rest, he's talking about the first day of the week, but he speaks against Yahweh's day that Yahweh has set apart, the day in Hebrews 4 that it says there was no other day but the seventh day was set apart. And that's in the Brit Kadashah, the New Testament. That's right there in Hebrews 4. How can we say Yahweh's law was done away with? We can't. We look to the future. We look to prophecy. And it was just Yahweh's law, Yahweh's Sabbath day was just never done away with. Thank you, Yahweh, for sending the Messiah to set us free from sinning, that we would not be called a sinner anymore. Turn the page, please, to Isaiah chapter 7, 14. Therefore Yahweh himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Immanuel, maybe. butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Well, of course he knows what's evil and what is good, because he wrote the word. The Messiah here is spoken of, the Son of Yahweh, who became the Messiah, who was sent to earth through human flesh, through Miriam, who was at that time a virgin, and Yahweh became the Word incarnate in the flesh. Read 1 John chapter 1, and also John chapter 1. More about the Messiah there. And here's my family tribe mentioned, Yeber, in Isaiah 8. We're going to Isaiah 8:19, though, about our Messiah, about his law. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. It all talks about familiar spirits and wizards, too. A lot of that nonsense and monkey business is going on even in churches today, that they're conjuring up. Who knows what spirits, if it is not in Yahweh, come up with some crazy foolishness. Some guy dresses up to be some sort of a weird priest or another, and who walks around the tables at the prayer meeting, laying hands on people. Now this is Jesus. Close your eyes. Jesus is coming up and touching you. He's got this robe around him, and that's Jesus there. Well, it should be Yahosha, but monkey business going on in there in the Full Gospel Businessmen's Meeting and other places too, in these new what do you call it? The churches with all the people. Yes, they all have people in I can't think of the word for it. Oh, we don't want to step on anybody's toes today. Okay, we don't want to ever do that. 9:6, Isaiah 9:6, the emergent church. Oh, I said it anyway. 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So that's the Messiah here spoken in Isaiah. A child is born, a son is given, and the government. Oh, there we have the laws again. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Yahweh, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government. And the increase of peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this. And then in Isaiah chapter 11, and it speaks of the future. And there shall come forth a rod, R-O-D, rod, out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch, that's the Messiah, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Oh, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Yahweh. So that's six spirits there, by the way. And we're 23 minutes into the broadcast. And verse 3, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of Yahweh. In the fear of Yahweh. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with the righteousness shall he judge the poor, reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. Verse 6, the wolf and the lamb shall, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, or the serpent. Verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my pure mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. The root of Jesse, that's the Messiah here, which shall stand for a sign of the people. To it shall the Gentile seek, and his rest shall be the word kavod here in Hebrew. And it shall come to pass in that day that Yahweh shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people from You know, from all over the world, he's gathering us together. And then it goes on about the day of Yahweh. There's a beautiful Isaiah song there to Yahweh in chapter 12. And the day of Yahweh, the day of Yahweh, coming down on in judgment on Babylon in chapter 13. We have the good news we just read there in chapter 11. The root, the rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots. So then we also have Jeremiah 23 on YahvahYahweh.name on this program, Avoiding Control Issues. We mentioned the doctrine of the law here. We talked about marriage between Yahweh and his people and deliverance, salvation that is, deliverance and salvation. So we're in Jeremiah and chapter 23. And I'm Stefan Yah, my internet name. And it says in Jeremiah 23:5, Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice, or right ruling in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called Yahweh our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that they shall no more say, Yahweh liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, which we do every, we say that every year at Passover from the Torah. But Yahweh, we shall say, but Yahweh liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country from all the countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine is overcome because of Yahweh and because of the words of his pure set apart Kadosh. For the land is full of adulterers, for becoming of because of swearing the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. Their course is evil and their force is not right. And the word Balaam and adultery and lies are mentioned there. And vanity and speaking a vision of their own heart. You see, there's the problem with the unrepentant heart. Maybe a person who was saved, but then slides back into rebellion. Not out of the mouth of Yahweh. He speaks a vision of his own heart, not out of the mouth of Yahweh, found in Jeremiah 23:16. They say still unto them that despise me, Yahweh has said, you shall have peace. So there's going to be false peace here, that you shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walks after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who has stood in the counsel of Yahweh and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? By the way, no evil shall come upon you. That was the end of the quotation there. No evil shall come upon you. So that's end of quotation. And then Yahweh says, For who has stood in the counsel of Yahweh, the counsel, and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? In verse 18. So how many people actually even bring the scriptures with them to the fellowship to read? Not that many. A little music now. And welcome back to YahvahYahweh.name with Stefan Yah, Avoiding Control Issues, talking a little bit about deliverance, salvation, marriage. Repentance is the subject at hand here, about being delivered from our former ways, our poor attitudes, our terrible attitudes. We're going to Malachi chapter 4 next here on the station, which is hopefully the opinions of the staff and management of this radio station. It's an amazing favor that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm saved. Because of his unmerited favor, he has set me free. Free to keep his word, keep the law. Malachi chapter 4, remember the law of Moses. This is the last chapter in the scriptures and the Old Testament before it goes into the Brit Kadoshah. Malachi 4 says, remember the law of Moses. So that's the one thing that the Protestants are telling us, the preachers from the pulpits, most of them tell us to forget the law of Moses. It even says to remember the Sabbath day in Deuteronomy chapter 5. But yet, that's the one law that we are to be stoned to death for breaking, just equally with the law about murder and many other laws. We were stoned to death, but that's the one commandment that they want to forget, not to remember. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, the statutes and judgments. Yes, the law, the Ten Commandments found in Exodus 20, the judgments are found in Exodus 21, 22, and 23, among other places. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. We're 30 minutes into the broadcast, and we're going into the book of Acts here in a moment, and Romans